Welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's wonderful to be together here in person in the sanctuary, and it's also wonderful to join you in your home if you are worshiping with us online. Welcome. We at Anderson First United Methodist Church make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. I'm Reverend Corrine Borif, and leading worship with me today will be Allie Hall, Richard Cassidy, Dwayne Landwehr, and our music will be by the amazing Sanctuary Choir. Lent begins this week. With our Ash Wednesday service, invite you to join us at 7 p.m. as we begin our Lenten journey toward Easter. Join us at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary for a service of ashes. Joy Lunch is coming up on Friday, the 16th. Be sure to register by Wednesday, the 14th. Darla Sally will be, she's a community leader, which will be coming to us and sharing as our guest speaker. Hope Springs Eternal. These are free Lenten devotionals for you to use. There's a devotion for every day throughout Lent. You may want to give up some of your time to take on a Lenten devotional. Obviously, these are short readings, but can be a powerful way to enlighten your life as we move toward Easter. You're welcome to take one for a friend as well. Loving, Learning, and Leading. This is a workshop that is being offered March 15th, both online, or you can attend with me at Noblesville First United Methodist Church. This is a program of how we are to live into our mission, and it would be very appropriate for this congregation. So those of you that would like to register, it is a free workshop. If you're attending in person, that means a free lunch as well. So you can find these flyers are distributed both at the Welcome Center, also at the tables at the entrance of the sanctuary. Anyone and everyone is welcome to attend, either online or in person, March 15th. The deadline to register for that is March 1st. Let us now stand to greet one another, and as we do so, be sure to reach out and welcome our guests with us today. As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship with the music by Susan Finger. Let us stand together and join in our call to worship and our opening hymn. We are brought here today to glimpse the hope that Christ has for us. We are brought here today to be healed of our fears. Come, let us receive the vision and healing love of God.
Good morning. I'd like to invite all of the children down for our children's moment. All right, you guys. So last week we started a new series called Unshakable, and we're learning all about the fact that God is in control. So Ellie, why don't you go ahead and open up our bag this morning and see what is in there? She already has a really good guess, though. So, what is it? It's a book. It's a book I love to read. You guys love to read. And you know, one thing that I really, really like about reading books is that I know that they're going to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. You know what drives me crazy when I read books? When there's things like plot twists that I didn't predict or cliffhangers. Do you guys know what a plot twist is? What's a plot twist?
It's like if someone is like really good and then they turn out to be like bad.
Yes, very good example. What about a cliffhanger? Do you know what a cliffhanger is?
It's like if you can only read to a certain chapter and then you get to the end of that. The chapter, and you're like, why?
Exactly. I can't stand it when I'm reading a book. Oh, yes, do you have something else to say?
I love reading books, too.
That's good. Reading is very important. And one of the things that I love about it is the beginning, the middle, the end. And our stories have a lot of beginnings and middles and ends, too, as well as plot twists and cliffhangers. But when we're going through life, I like to read about cliffhangers and plot twists a lot more than I like to live them. But there's a lot we can learn from them. And in the middle of a cliffhanger or a plot twist, we can have confidence and remember that we are secure because God controls our stories. Because sometimes when we're living life, sometimes it feels like our lives are just so out of control, but we know that we're secure because God is in control. So we're going to go downstairs and we're going to talk about how God controls our stories and what that means and what that feels like and looks like in our life, okay? All right, let's go, friends.
Thank you. Good morning. Pastor Corrine's already kind of introduced the Lenten season coming up with her devotional book. It's always good. And there's something else that happens during the period of Lent, and that's the Anderson Area Lenten Breakfast Series. Notice I didn't say Men's Lenten Breakfast Series, because we have dropped the name Men's to be everybody. We want to be inclusive here. So it was always traditional for the last meeting of the series to invite the ladies, but we don't want to keep them out for the rest of them. So all are welcome. The Lenten Breakfast Series started many moons ago, many decades ago. Some of you may remember. Back in the mid-50s, as I understand, 1950s, I almost remember that, but a group of Methodist ministers here in Anderson would meet on a Saturday morning for prayer and contemplation of the Lenten season. Remembering the time after Jesus' baptism that he went to the wilderness for a 40-day journey of prayer and fasting. So we kind of want to keep that little thought going here. And so during the period of Lent, which our part begins on next Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 17th, we will be meeting up at Frankton at the Christian Church there. This is a very ecumenical program. On any given Saturday morning, we'll have upwards to 30, give or take, different congregations represented throughout the area, which is always nice. It's just, we're not here to promote any particular dogma. It's just those who want to meet together and center your thoughts on Christ as we approach the Easter season coming up. Over the years, as I've already mentioned, things have changed greatly. The group of Methodist ministers decided that they would invite their parishioners. It sounded like a good idea. And then that grew from that to, well, let's invite some of our other neighbors. And then for years and years, that's just the way it's been. It became the Anderson Area Men's Lenten Breakfast Series. But then in the past few years, we've decided that we need to be more inclusive. Some of the ladies have asked, well, can we come? We say, absolutely. Well, we never turn anybody away. So the six Saturdays during Lent, you'll see some program cards out there in the Welcome Center that have the schedule on the front and back here, let you know where it's going to be and who's going to be participating. So we're just excited for this time to come. We think they have a good series set up and looking forward to seeing everyone come next Saturday morning. Thank you.
He's got the whole world, the whole world.
Shall we pray? O God, whose beauty is beyond our imagining and whose power we cannot comprehend, you continue to show us your glory. Use all that we are and all that we give to spread the news of your glory. Amen.
Please pray with me as we lift our hearts to God. Holy and loving God, whose nature and ways are far beyond our understanding, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who lets us see your face in his, who shows us your love in his actions, your grace in his manner of being. In him too, O God, we see ourselves as you would have us be, and as your power is able to make us. Make us more like him now, we pray. Patient God, we often find ourselves weary, exhausted by a load of care, a heap of responsibility and concern. We hunger and thirst, and often fail to stop and eat and drink at the table you have prepared for us. Lord, we are here now, and we ask you to grant us a glimpse of your glory. Fill us with your Spirit, refresh us, and make us new. Loving God, we pray that your glory may fill your church and give to your people everywhere the energy to shine wherever there is darkness, disunity, persecution, and despair. We also pray for all those whose names are upon our hearts, whatever their need or burden. We lift up to you those we know as the stranger and ask that you continue to open our hearts that they may become our friends. Grant to all health and wholeness, peace and joy, strength, and hope. Give us all, O Lord, a greater love of your holiness, a greater delight in your mystery, and a greater joy in seeking your presence. We ask it through Christ Jesus, who revealed your will to us and who taught us to pray to you as one family, saying the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The gospel this morning is from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. Please stand as you're able. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
Ready for his day, put on his sweatshirt and these blue jeans and his baseball cap, and he picked up his instrument and he went to the Washington, D.C. Transit Metro station. And there he opened up his satchel that he was carrying and he pulled out his violin. The violin that he played was a $3 million violin. This was Joshua Bell, who, when I went online recently and checked out his tour, is going all over the world in 2024, including Bloomington, Indiana at IU, in case you're interested. He is a world-renowned violinist. But on this particular day, he had chosen to play anonymously in this metro station. He played for 45 minutes. He played what he had played on stage in a concert hall there in Washington, D.C. If you were to go to one of those concerts, the tickets range, it depends on the venue actually of where he's located, anywhere around the world between $500 for a seat and down to about $200. In Bloomington, you get quite a deal if you go. They're $169 for a seat to hear him play. But as he played in the metro station, no one stopped except for six people out of the hundreds in those 45 minutes that were moving in and out of the metro station. Six stopped to listen. 20, as they flew by, dropped a few coins in his violin case. $32 to be exact. And no one recognized him. That's what the transfiguration is about today. That's what our scripture from Mark is talking about today. That we are to recognize Jesus Christ for who he really, truly is. Among us then and among us now. You see, this story is so important. The importance of a story is often highlighted with where you find it in the scripture. And you can find this, obviously, in Mark 9. It's also in Luke 9. It's in Matthew 17. And it's found in 2 Peter. Again, Paul tells the story. But this story is an interesting story. It's a bit difficult to make sense of. Transfiguration is one of those very much churchy words. You don't go out on the street and talk about transfiguration. Not if you want to be understood, right? And even in the church, that's kind of iffy. So if you go back to the Greek, which is what this New Testament was written in, go back to the Greek and you look at that word, that word's metamorphosis. Literally in the Greek, it means beyond change. In other words, it's change that seems unexplainable. Metamorphosis, and we often think of that in terms of the butterfly. This change from this real earthy, ugly caterpillar that most of us would not have anything to do with, who places itself within a chrysalis, or we often call it a cocoon, a chrysalis, and there the change takes place beyond what any of us could understand or visualize. And out emerges the butterfly. This is what was taking place. Actually, Jesus really didn't change all that much. He was who he was before the transfiguration. He was who he was after the transfiguration. It was the disciples that needed to see it. They needed to know. You see, our scripture begins today with after 6 days. Well, what was going on 6 days earlier? Jesus had taken his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, and there he had asked them a very mind-blowing question. Who do you say that I am? Well, you can imagine being asked that question and wanting to get it right, right? Yeah. And so, Peter was the one that took the leap and stepped forward and said, "Why, you are the one that we are waiting for. You are the Messiah." And Peter was right. But he had no idea what that meant. You see, for Peter and the majority of the disciples and Jews, they were waiting for a Messiah, a warrior Messiah who would rescue them from the Romans, who would make life better. They could worship in freedom. They could be who they were called to be by God. They would be rescued and free. The land would be theirs again. That's not who Jesus came to be. And you can imagine the disciples there who, when Jesus started talking about, because you see this passage, this transfiguration in all of the books of the New Testament where it's talked about, where it's described, it is a bridge. It is a bridge between Epiphany, where we celebrate Christmas, we have Epiphany, the celebration of the light of the world, the King of Kings in our midst. We just celebrated 5 Sundays of Epiphany. And we are about to enter into Lent, where we will do something very visual by snuffing the lights out each Sunday, 1 candle a Sunday, to represent what is happening during this time. So this is a point in between. And you can imagine, because right after this, Jesus, after he had asked them and Peter had answered correctly, Jesus had started to talk about the fact that he was going to have to suffer and he would die and he would be resurrected. Well, you can imagine the confusion of the disciples. Peter steps in and says, "Lord, that's not going to happen to you." And we hear that Peter was rebuked. And Jesus then went on to address everybody and said, "Those who try to live will die. Those who die for my sake will live." Well, you can imagine the disciples' confusion. I mean, they had to be thinking, what have we gotten ourselves into? We thought this was the Messiah, the one that was coming to rescue us. Now, what are we going to do? They had 6 days that they were deliberating about this amongst themselves. What were they going to do? Who was this? Not the Messiah that they had thought. Someone who was going to be crucified, someone who was going to suffer and die. You see, they were all about victory and winning. That's what they wanted to do. That's not what Jesus was talking about. And so he chose 3. Why 3? We aren't told why. It could be that they were the 3 that would best understand what was about to happen. And Jesus took these 3 up to the mountaintop. Now, this is a very small mountain. Mount Tabor in Israel is a small mountain, if you can call it that, but it really is straight up. And if you go there to visit, you are driven. It kind of winds around. The road kind of does one of these deals up to the top. On a road, you have to have a whole lot of faith to ride in a vehicle. On a road that's barely wide enough for one, and you meet cars and vehicles coming down the other way as you're going up.
and vice versa. Just kind of hold on and pray a lot. I imagine a whole lot of, probably more prayers are said on Mount Tabor than any other place in Israel. But they hiked up to the top of this, the four of them all by themselves. And there, we understand when Jesus takes someone to the mountaintop, when we hear about that in Scripture, that means that God is present. That's what it means in Scripture to go to the mountaintop. You're right there where God is. And we have those examples. We have Abraham meeting God when God called him to sacrifice Isaac. It was on a mountaintop, and God had saved Isaac because of Abraham's faithfulness. And we also have the mountaintop experience of Moses. He had a couple of them. The burning bush was on the mountaintop where God had spoken to him and said that this was sacred ground. He also was handed the Ten Commandments on the mountaintop. Jesus spoke to Moses quite a bit. And then we have Elijah. Elijah hears the still small voice of God on a mountaintop. So they were in the presence of God. And there before the disciples, it says, his clothes became dazzling white. What in the world does that mean? What is happening here? Well, it's kind of like, have you, and we don't do this as often as we used to, but go to the movies, go to a movie theater. By the way, if you haven't been for a while, they've changed the seats. They're really comfy. But you go into the theater, and there you get trailers. They're called movie trailers or previews of a movie coming up to show you what it's going to be like. We've had kind of these previews all week long of the Super Bowl. What's going to happen? All the predictions, all the team stats are right out there. And who's going to do what? And then, of course, the halftime show. But this, the transfiguration, is like a movie trailer. God wanted the disciples to have a glimpse of what was coming, because all of this talk about suffering and death and resurrection, that they had no clue what that really meant, was terrifying. And then to prepare them to actually live through it, live through seeing Jesus Christ suffer and die, was going to be horrific. And God was showing them that even though that's what they were going to have to go through, even though that's what Jesus was going to have to go through, that's not the end of the story. He was giving them a glimpse of the glory of God that was indeed Jesus Christ. Yes, he was human, but he was very much God as well. And then we have, as he's glowing, we have Moses and Elijah appear on either side of him. Well, that asks a lot of questions, bears a lot of questions. It's not really explained in any of the Gospels. But we know that Moses is accredited the first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Torah. And in fact, the Jewish folks call those the books of Moses. These were the books of law. If you started reading the Bible through in a year and you're reading it chronologically, you're right now probably about in Leviticus or numbers, tedious, lots of rules. These were the books of law. And then we have Elijah. Elijah, who was known to the Jewish people as the greatest of the prophets. And what God was saying here was that as these represent the whole known Bible at the time, my son, my beloved, fulfills the Bible, fulfills the scriptures. And then we have the great cloud. The great cloud that appears, and again, the presence of God. You see, for 40 years, the people were led by a cloud, a pillar of cloud by day throughout the wilderness. That's the presence of God. And when the cloud moved, they were to move. And when the cloud stayed stationary, they were to stay put in following and being obedient to God. Also, when Solomon built the temple filled with a great cloud, the presence of God in the midst of the temple built by Solomon. God's presence. And here, God's presence speaks to them and says, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." Listening is an art. Listening is more than just being quiet when somebody talks. I hope that there's listening that's going on in worship. That's more than just being quiet. Listening is an art, and you're maybe familiar with Stephen Ministry. Stephen Ministry is wonderful. The training is 72 hours to become a Stephen minister, and most of that training is on how to listen. It's called active listening, and it's listening not with just ears, but with heart. In other words, disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, listen to Christ with your heart. Learn from him what to do, how to live, how to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And very immediately, these disciples needed to hear, listen to Jesus when he says, "This is what we are going to experience," because this truly is what you're going to live through, the suffering, the death, the resurrection. But there is more to come. And God was speaking to us too through the transfiguration. You see, no matter what we experience in life day in and day out, good or really bad, Easter is coming. The bad is not the end of the story. Easter is coming. There is hope. And then the cloud disappears. Moses and Elijah disappear, and there stands Jesus in his grungy, dirty clothes that he had climbed up the mountain in. Just the man they had known and seen before, but more. Truly the Son of God. He was truly divine as well. Our passage from 2 Corinthians tells us, Paul instructs then what to do with this. What do you do with a transfiguration? What do you do knowing who Christ is as the Son of God? And he uses words like veiled, blinded, shining. We have symbols up here on the altar to represent the transfiguration, a butterfly, the metamorphosis, the mirror reflecting, displaying, as Paul would say, and the light of the world that we have been celebrating in Epiphany that still exists, and still there's even hope throughout Lent. But it sets a course for us for Lent, for our journey toward Easter, because we are to do the hard work of seeing who we are and whose we are. There, we know about our solar system enough to know that when we see planets that seem to glow, or even our moon, that they're actually reflecting the sunlight. And we know that science has given that a name, and you probably don't know the name, but that's albedo. Albedo is the word that for the percentage or how much a celestial body will reflect the light. And the one that has the highest number, the highest percentage of all other celestial bodies out in our solar system is Venus. And it reflects 65% of the sunlight that hits it is reflected back. Now you might say, well, hey, our moon's pretty bright some nights when it's clear and it's a full moon. Wow, you can't beat that. Our moon reflects 7% of the sunlight that reaches it. 7%. We have a spiritual albedo. According to Paul, we are to display from our hearts the light of Jesus Christ, the presence of Christ within us. And according to Paul, we're to strive for 100%. According to the Gospels, we are to strive for 100% to reflect 100% of who Christ is into the world, Christ's glory, Christ's victory. That's what we are to do with our lives, is to be a reflection of that glory and that beauty. But Lent takes us through a journey because there are things that obstruct that. We are veiled. We are even blinded to Christ in our midst, of Christ at work, of Christ's acts of love, at Christ loving us. We can be blinded and veiled. We don't see it all. And the journey through Lent is a time to figure out what is blinding us, what is obstructing our vision, what is keeping us from seeing Christ clearly and reflecting the light. And our journey begins Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. We begin at the very beginning, and we begin understanding who we are and whose we are. Let us journey through Lent together because Easter is coming. Amen. Let us sing together, leaning on the everlasting arms. speak of what you have seen of God's glory. God shines the light of glory into our hearts as we go in peace to love and serve. Amen. Stand for the benediction. Go now as you begin your journey of Lent and do the hard work of moving those things, removing them from your life, those things that obstruct your view of Jesus Christ. And may you shine. Amen.